This is HPR episode 2688 entitled, Explaining the Controls on My Amateur HF Radio Part 5, and is part of the series, HAM Radio, QSK. It is hosted by Mr. X, and is about 17 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, in this episode I cover the remaining receiver section controls of the TS-940s.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience, and welcome to this podcast. As usual, I'd like to thank the people at HPR for making this service available to us all. It's truly an invaluable service that they provide. I've gone to a lot of effort to streamline it and make it as easy as possible for you to contribute. HPR is a community-led podcast provided by the community for the community. That means you can contribute too. Why don't you give it a go? This is the final part of my series on the controls of my Kenwood TS-940S HF, that's high frequency amateur radio. You'll be sick of the thing. It covers the remaining receiver section of the receiver controls in the receiver section of the radio. It covers AF, RF gain, CW variable bandwidth tuning, SSB slope tuning, I mentioned some of the pros and cons of, at the end I mentioned some of the pros and cons of owning such a radio. Anyway, hope you enjoy it, so sit back and enjoy. Okay, so we left off with the RIT/XIT control. The next control along is a control with two. Next control along is a dual function control, dual function rotary control. It's AF gain and RF gain. AF and RF is what's marked above it. And this, I'll just turn the radio on. And the inner one is AF, which stands for audio frequency, and the outer one is RF, which is radio frequency. So if you turn the AF one up, it's just the volume. There you go. So that's it, turning the volume up, but they call it AF, audio frequency. Just the gain in the audio frequency stages of the radio. The RF one, what happens there is if you have had a CB radio or something like that, or another receiver, what generally happens is, you've got your RF gain, you turn it down, and the signal drops. This radio doesn't do that. What happens is you turn the RF gain down, and the signal gets weaker. Let me go through that again. This radio doesn't do that. What happens is, if I go to a blank bit, a quiet piece of the radio spectrum, and of course I can't actually find a bit because there's so much noise going on but just now, but say the background noise was the signal strength was sitting at 2, so in other words, you know, you're just listening to the hiss and the signal meter is wavering about the number 2. With a conventional RF gain, if you turn it down, then that would go even lower and disappear. But what happens with this radio is the signal meter starts to climb up. So what it's doing is it's known as raising the noise floor. So you've got a signal, and the dynamic range or the range of the radio is between the strongest signal can hear and the weakest signal. And when you turn the RF gain, the noise floor rises to meet the signal that you're receiving. So the beauty of that is that you can, your signal strength remains the same. So if I'm listening to a radio station and it's a bit strong, I can just turn the RF gain back and the noise floor comes up to meet the signal. But you still get the same signal strength on the meter until eventually it disappears, of course. But it's still, in fact, it would disappear at which point, where the noise floor reaches the same strength as a signal, and then you don't hear anything. So if I just go to, I'll try and get a bit of Morse code, for example, if we can. Well, there's a tone, for example, and if I, let's just do the notch again, because that's ideal for letting you hear how well the notch works. So there you go. There's a notch filter in. If I take it out, oh, the tone stopped. Flaming typical. That was a perfect tone for that too. There you go. Morse code. Oh, come on, Morse code. Come back. Notch. Disappear. Notch. So you can hear that notch filter works really well. But anyway, if I get a signal, and I'll use the RF gain again, so that's what we're really talking about. Can't find one. Right. I'm going to turn the RF gain. I think it's about plus 20 dB or something like that. And of course, he stopped speaking, of course. Da-da-da, K. Stop speaking. So, oh, there we go. Now I'm going to turn the gain up. The RF gain up, or down I should say. And now you can't hear it. But, the meter hasn't gone down. So, it's a bit of a strange way of thinking about it, but it's quite a clever idea, really, rather than just dropping the signal strength. A subtle difference to the way the RF control works, say on a typical CB or whatever. But there you go. So that's AF gain and RF gain. I bet that's confused the heck out of you. This is like an off-the-cuff thing, and I've not prepared any notes or anything like that, and I do apologise. So we go to the last two controls on the bottom right-hand corner of the radio. The left-hand one is it says CWVBT, and that's CW, which stands for carrier wave. That's Morse code. VBT, variable bandwidth something. But it's essentially allows you to the radio becomes super selective, very narrow, too narrow for voice, but allows you to really separate. If you've got two Morse stations running very close to one another, you can select just one with careful adjustment tuning. In fact, if you're a keen Morse operator, a Morse signal will get through where an audio voice signal won't. You know, if it's a really really weak signal, a Morse signal will punch through. And if you've got a lot of interference and noise and whatnot on the band, other Morse stations coming in and out, then this filter clears all that up, or can do. It's actually very good. And you get the variable BBT, you get a graphic representation on the sub-display, the lines converged depending on how narrow the width of the lines, because there's a series of vertical bars printed in the sub panel display, and as you turn the VBT it kind of clicks. And when you do that, the number of vertical bars decreases and increases to graphically simulate the width of the filter, the width of the receiver, basically. So I'll see if I can get this to work, because it's a long time since I've done it. But there's a Morse code's a bit quiet just now. I better go into CW mode, actually. CW mode. And I can't find any Morse. Typical. Maybe just need to take my word for it. It works really well. I don't know what... I'm sure nowadays they've got... modern readers have got to... digital signal processors which can do this sort of thing. Nope, I can't find any more. It's all disappeared. So just take my word for it, and it would be probably a bit complicated to set up anyway. And finally, there's some Morse code now. Never mind. Finally, the bottom right-hand control, the very bottom right-hand corner, it says SSB slope tune, and there's an inner ring and outer ring dual control again. The inner one has a high against it, and the outer one has a low. And what this seems to do is it... it's like a high pass filter and high pass and low pass audio filter, so that if you've got a lot of noise in the band, predominantly low frequency noise, you can reduce it by turning the low pass one up, for example. Turning that down cuts any high frequency, so you let the low through, basically. Let's even get a voice signal so you can hear how it sounds. If I can find any voice, that is. Ooh. A lot going on there. Now there, that sound tells you how it's just almost distorted, but if I turn the... Hang on. Now, there's high frequency. Right, that station calling. There's a very low frequency signal, so I could reduce the low frequency signal by turning, let's see if I can do this. Turning the low frequency knob up so that it cuts the low frequency out, so there you go. Makes it sound more tinny. There you go. So it's now a lot tinnier, but it's cut out all that noise that was coming in from the underneath at the bass. See how much quieter, how much cleaner it sounds now. That's it. So, but it affects the audio quality. And likewise, if there's a lot of high frequency noise on the band, then I could cut that. So it's that noise again. Yeah. So it's a basic filtering, sort of basic audio filtering. I guess it's a bit like having an audio frequency a graphic equalizer, where you cut the high frequency components in the audio or the low frequency components just by turning those two knobs. Basically, that's what it's doing. So as simple as that. There's a whole slew of controls on the sliding top panel thing, which I'm not going to bother going into. There's no point. These are kind of specialist to this radio and for adjusting the... Nope, I'm not going to say any more about that. It's just not any point. You wouldn't come across these sort of things in a typical radio. And there's also a whole slew of connectors and plugs in the back of the radio as well, which I won't cover either. I think that's probably enough. You'll be sick to death of the Kenwood TS-940S. I, however, love it. It's a lovely radio. If you get the chance of buying one, I'm not sure. They don't recommend you buy these sort of things, you know. I was reading about that, and they said that you're better off buying a modern radio, because with an old radio, it's like an old car, the chances are it'll fail. Now, it may well be the case this'll fail at some point, but it's just a real joy to operate. The controls are lovely and weighted and smooth, and although there's a lot of controls on it, it's easy to access every single function without having to dive into menus of the wee small display. It's just a real joy to operate, and I'd be very sad if it if stroke when it fails. And I guess we just need to buy one of these modern type radios. So there you go. I say modern, but it's I say old, but I mean, although this radio is old, maybe from the 1980s or whatever, it's got PLL phase lock loop synthesis and whatnot, so it's very, very stable. It doesn't drift around like the old valve radios used to do. So it's very nice indeed. I'd recommend one if you're prepared to take the risk that it doesn't break down, of course, because trying to get it repaired would be very costly, I would think. Had a dry joint appear in it shortly after I got it, and I had to take it all to bits and take all the boards out, and it's probably the most complex thing I've ever taken to bits in my life, so I would not like to have to repeat that. Anyway, I think that's enough of the Kenwood TS-940S. Thanks very much for listening. I hope I haven't bored you too much this time. So, if you want to contact me, I can be contacted at mrx@hpr@googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr, the at symbol, googlemail.com. So until next time, thank you and goodbye.
Listen.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. We'll